to you all. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We read in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 4th verse, where Jesus was talking to his disciples, apart from or away from the crowd, and then asked him, "Lord, show us, what are the signs of your coming and the completion of the age?" And the next verse, verse 4, is very important to all people, but particularly to those who are or who call themselves Christians, who claim to be Christians, and all those who are part of the churches of God. Now, the biblical name, the only name we have in the Bible, is not a sectarian name. It's not the name of some man or some organization or some particular structure, but the only name given to us in the Bible is the Church of God. And there are derivations of that particular name, such as in the book of Hebrews, where it is called the Church of the Firstborn. Now, this verse 4 is very important indeed. It's vital to our understanding that Jesus Christ began his discourse here. He began to answer the question of his closest people, his closest disciples, who later became the apostles, who took his word to the rest of the world at that time. And we have their word today, and that's why we say that we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity in our time, because that Christianity was lost to the vast majority, beginning right back in the days of the Apostle Jude, where it said that certain men would creep into the church and they would cause destruction and havoc. And that's exactly what happened. And that began within the church, we know, from at least 60 AD. And the church that came into being after the end of that first century and began to become the great traditional church of today, it began to be built on the basis of the doctrines and the teachings of men. And so the Word of God, the Bible, was cast aside. Now, it's interesting that in our day, this warning that Jesus gave, there were churches of God who had the truth of God. They understood the truth of God, much of it. Not entirely all the truth, but a great deal of it. They understood the necessity that God had asked for us. In fact, God had commanded us to keep his laws and commandments, to observe his Sabbath days, to observe his annual holy days, which explain the whole plan that God has for mankind and for his creation. And they turned their backs on this. And that's why Jesus warned us ahead of time. He said, "Be on guard so that no one deceives you." And this large church of God in our present time ignored that statement of Jesus Christ and turned their backs on the truth of God, and they turned to the doctrines and the teachings and the commandments of men. Not doctrines that you can find in the Word of God, the Bible. And so that's why we say we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity as taught by Jesus and as taught by his eyewitnesses. So rather than turn to those teachings, these men who once knew the truth, but they made a fatal error, they did not prove it for themselves. They did not go into their Bibles, and they have confessed this with the words from their own mouths, that they knew these doctrines, they just accepted them at face value, but they did not make them a part of their belief system. And so when certain men crept into the church unawares, planted there by none other than Satan the devil, who were dedicated to destroying the church and bringing in subtly, little by little, falsehoods, errors, a little error here that did not seem to be important. and a little error over here that also, well, it troubled us a little, but we just let it rest and accepted it. And it came to the point where that church, that large church of God, departed entirely from the Word of God. Now, it's interesting that we can read in the book of Proverbs why Jesus said, be on guard so that no one deceives you. Because what happens when we're deceived? Well, in this case, this large church organization, this large church corporation, did what even King Solomon warned against in his writings in the book of Proverbs. So rather than being on guard so that no one deceives you, this is what happened. So let's turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26 and verse 11. Now the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. A book of wisdom that Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, who astounded all the leaders and the kings and those people around him, a man who accumulated great wealth, a man who sought knowledge, a man who sought wisdom. And these are one of the precious statements that he made. Now, the book of Proverbs is a great book for young people, for young men and for young women to turn to learn wisdom. Wisdom that will preserve them from the many problems that we're facing in the world today, if they will just read, and if you can encourage them as your children, or if you are a young person, then pick up the book of Proverbs in your Bible, and you will find that you will, by reading this and even asking God to give you wisdom, his wisdom from on high, not the wisdom of this world, then you will be walking down a straight and narrow path, and you will avoid, and your children will avoid, many of the pitfalls. Now, you can go online to our website, cbcg.org, and you can actually listen to the book of Proverbs being read, and you can actually read it along with that spoken voice. And so you've got two ways then of drinking in that very precious word that God has given us for today. But here's what Solomon recorded in Proverbs, the 26th chapter and verse 11. Now, these are the words that God has given to us. And we might say, well, that is awful. Why is that in the Bible? Well, it's in the Bible to do exactly what Jesus said when he said, be on guard that no man deceives you. And here we had basically a whole organization of the Church of God which ignored that statement of Jesus, and this is what they did. As the dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his own folly. Now it's interesting because the Apostle Peter, the chief apostle of Jesus Christ, wrote from the book of Proverbs, and this shows us that Peter and the other apostles upheld the Old Testament as the Word of God because he quoted this very scripture, and we can see that in 2 Peter, the second chapter. Now, in the faithful version that we have available online, when you turn to the book of Peter, you'll find that it is not in the position that the Catholic Church changed it from the original position. They took the general epistles of James, Peter, and John and moved them to the end, towards the end of the New Testament, when in fact, John the Apostle, when he canonized and put the seal of God on the New Testament, placed the general epistles of James, Peter, and John immediately after the book of Acts. And so again, what that shows us, that after having read the history of the church, which is contained in the four Gospels and the book of Acts, then God is pointing us to his apostles, James, Peter, and John, who in that sense represented the city that God loves and the city that God is going to place his throne in again. the throne of David. And Jesus Christ is going to occupy that throne in Jerusalem. So what the Catholic Church did to point people to Rome, away from the city of God, they put the book of Romans immediately after the book of Acts. Now, what does that tell us? And do you think that God is pleased with the Catholic Church for having changed what he said, as we might say in concrete? But he set it in that position by his authority. Now, this fact is quite evident. Everything pointing to Rome. But that's not where the word is going to come from in future. Which brings to mind another scripture which we can turn to now. And let's read this. This is what is going to happen in future. And you might say, well, aren't we talking about the British peoples? Aren't we talking about the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Aren't we talking here about Ephraim, the descendants of Ephraim, who are the British peoples? Yes, we are, because this is all a part of the story. This is all a part of the gospel of the kingdom of God that is coming and is going to rule the world in peace and happiness and prosperity. So let's go back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter it is. Yes, in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, let's just read here verse 2 where it says, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." Now, you know, this is happening today when the gospel of the kingdom of God is being preached. When the truth of God is being preached, there are those people that God is calling. And today, God is calling a new people. Here we have this large church of God where people just walked out. They changed their teachings. They changed their doctrines. They accepted a lie. And like a dog returning to its vomit, they accepted lies in place of the truth. So God now is reaching out and calling another group of people. It reminds us of the early church, where particularly the Apostle Paul, where Paul went first to the Jews. Now the Jews did what? In the main, the Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so Paul, doing that according to the scriptures, he then went to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles simply are those people who were not of the house of Israel. In other words, all the other nations. And so God was calling them. So here we have all these people from the church of God who changed their teachings, changed their doctrines, accepted a lie. So the same principle applies. Today God is reaching out. And God is reaching out to the people of British Isles and the Commonwealth of Nations, all those who are the descendants of Ephraim. He's reaching out to us, calling us to repentance, to accept his way of life, to put aside our pride and our arrogance. And oh, are we not filled with pride and arrogance, particularly those who are, we might say in quotations, the privileged of our nations, the wealthy, those who are in power and authority, those who can treat their servants as slaves, those who can look down their long noses at other human beings and seeing them as second or third class. God has got something in store for you if that describes you. If you are of the aristocracy that feels superior to other people, then as the Proverbs say, that pride goes before a fall. God is going to bring you down, and God is going to exalt the humble, the people that you have trodden all over. God is going to exalt them because they look to God, they see he is God, they have cried out to him because of what they have suffered under your boots, under your feet, and he is going to bless them, and you are going to replace them as the poor of this world, unless you repent. Unless you begin to share the benefits and the blessings that are God-given. You didn't earn that by your own hand. You earned that, or you were given that, rather, by the hand of God because of his covenant that he made with Abraham. So we have to get off our high horses. We have to humble ourselves, because if we don't, God will humble us. Back now to Isaiah the 9th chapter. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Yes, God is calling a people. And if you are one of those walking in darkness right now, God is showing you through his word, through his spoken word, and through his written word, through the Bible sitting on your shelf gathering dust. The light is there. The words in your Bible are crying out to you. Read these words. And as Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And they who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. Yes, the wisdom of God is there waiting. The salvation of God is waiting in the word of God. It's waiting for us to turn, to repent of our sins, of our pride, our arrogance, and all the sins that we commit against God. And when we do that, God's light will shine. God will bring us out of that darkness. Now notice verse 6. Here we're talking about Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Yes, the governments of this world are going to be taken away from men. Parliament in London is going to be removed, and that government is going to be replaced by a world ruling government, not a government ruled by men, but a government ruled by Jesus Christ and his saints and all his holy angels with him. And that's going to take place from Jerusalem. For the government shall be upon his shoulder. And that's talking about world government. Not the world government that's forming right now, the government of men, which is going to lead up to those end time events that Jesus Christ talked about. But the government shall be upon his, and that's capital H, his shoulders, the shoulders of Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one to whom the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, the Son of his love. And God is inducting people today into that very kingdom. And it is not a kingdom of men, it is not a kingdom ruled by men, but is a kingdom ruled by the righteous and holy and perfect Son of God, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with righteousness, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now let's just read on, because it says, the Lord sent his word against Jacob. Now who is Jacob? Remember, Jacob was called Israel by God, and Jacob put the name Israel, and that's modern Israel today, upon the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Today, the descendants of Ephraim are the British people. So this is addressing the British people and the American people. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen upon Israel. And all the people shall know Ephraim. Now isn't that interesting? Ephraim and the people of Samaria. Samaria being the capital of the northern tribes of Israel, but specifically referring to Ephraim, whom God said was the firstborn. God claimed Ephraim as the firstborn, even though he was second, and blessed Ephraim with a blessing along with his brother Manasseh, with the birthright blessing, so that they became the breadbasket to feed the world. And God blessed them. But again, they forgot God. Just as today, the British peoples, the descendants of Ephraim, have forgotten the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is their God. Now notice, And all the people shall know Ephraim and the people of Samaria, saying, in pride and arrogance of heart. Yes, the pride of Ephraim, the pride of the British people. And that pride came because we failed to recognize where our greatness and our wealth came from. We refused. We turned our back on God and refused to keep his commandments. The bricks have fallen down, but we will build up cut stones. Oh yes, you know, God is causing a reverse in our prosperity, in our wealth, and in every other area of our lives. But what do we say? Do we turn to God in repentance? No. We say we will build with cut stones, the sycamore, and cut down, but we will use cedars instead. And the Lord shall set up the foes of Rezin against him, and the spur on his enemies. And it's interesting, isn't it? Read this. The Assyrians from the east and the Philistines from the west, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. Now, who are these people, the Syrians? Isn't this so fitting? In history as it is being written today, we have this whole threat of terrorism from ISIS now, threatening to wipe out the British peoples and the American peoples, and as we said in the last segment, reaching right down now to the descendants of Ephraim in Australia, where they have just prevented, at this time, terrorists taking somebody off the street and videotaping a beheading to show to the rest of the world, just like they have done now with three people at this stage, beheaded them, and striking terror into the heart of the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh around the world. And as we've shown, as we have read from articles, the people in the United States, where it said, are living in fear of acts of terror. The same is true in the British Isles. And now it's reaching right around the world. You see, terrorism today is not like conventional warfare where two armies stand face to face and shoot each other. Terrorism is within our midst. As the scripture says, the strangers within our midst are going to rise up against us because they hate us. Because you see, one of the reasons they hate us is God has turned them against us because we have refused to obey the laws of God. And because we have refused to obey the laws of God, God is sending these enemies against us to punish us, to threaten us, in an attempt to cause us to turn from our sins and all our evil ways, repent, and turn back to God. Now, will our nation do that? Will our nation or our nations, will they turn in sackcloth and ashes and repentance to God and change our way of life and turn back to his laws and commandments? Well, the question remains open. But now the challenge is to you and to me. Will we turn back to the living God? Let's go back to 2 Peter. And we'll read how Peter quoted from the book of Proverbs. Now, the setting here is talking about the godly and the ungodly. And in verse 9, we read how that the Lord, Jesus Christ, knows how to rescue the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unrighteous to the day of judgment to be punished. But particularly those who walk after the flesh in corrupting lusts. Now, does that not describe our nations? And hold in utter contempt the lordship of God. Yes, 39% of those living in the British Isles, by survey, say that they do not even believe God exists. Well, God knows that they exist, and for their unbelief, God is going to bring destruction upon our nations. They are audacious and self-willed. They are not afraid to blaspheme the divine power. And as we saw last time, one of those ways of blaspheming is taking God's name in vain, using that quaint little phrase, "Oh my God." That is blasphemy. Unless you are crying out to God because you know and you recognize you need His help, and you're saying, "Oh my God, I have sinned against you in the sight of all heaven. Father, I ask for your forgiveness. Please cover my sins with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and make your laws and your commandments a path for my feet. Show the way before me through your laws and commandments that I may not displease you." Now, using that statement, "Oh my God," in that way is a righteous way to do it. Any other way, God will not hold you faultless or anyone who takes his name in vain. And in verse 12, we can read, "But these, as irrational brute beasts." Yes, this is the Apostle Peter who is talking here, as a rational brute beast, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheme those things of which they are ignorant. Oh, there is no God. What ignorance. Where did you learn to say that? Where did your teachers and your professors and your ministers, even many now claiming they don't even know whether God exists? And here, even great church leaders are saying they're not even sure that God exists. Then pray tell me, why are they preachers? Why are they the leaders of the churches and the various denominations? They believe in the authority of man, and they like to have power over the people they preach to. Oh yes, they appear as ministers of righteousness, but as Paul said, in fact, they're the ministers of Satan. And that's why Jesus said, "Beware, be on guard." And talking specifically of these ministers, these false prophets are fountains without water, clouds driven by a storm, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And those people, those ministers, those false prophets over our peoples have led us astray. For they speak bombastic words of vanity, enticing others through the lusts of the flesh, by granting indulgences to sin. And are our ministers in so many of our churches in this country and in the nations of Ephraim doing exactly this, where it's okay to sin, it's okay to have an abortion, it's okay to get married to someone of the same sex, endorsing what God forbids? Now, what do you think the result of that is going to be? So, granting indulgences to sin and ensnaring those who had indeed escaped from those who live in deception. While promising freedom, oh yes, we're free to do whatever we like because we're saved with the blood of Christ only. We don't have to keep the commandments of God. That is a deception. That is a false conversion. In fact, it is no conversion at all, because conversion is a total change of a way of life. It's putting off what the Bible calls the old man and putting on the new man, which is the man that walks in the laws and commandments of God. So while promising freedom, they themselves are actually slaves of corruption. And don't we see that in the prophets and in the ministers, the elders and the priests of the churches today? They themselves are actually slaves of corruption, because by whatever anyone is overcome, he is also held in bondage. For if after escaping the moral defilement, and many had done this in the churches of God, and in one church in particular, for if after escaping the moral defilement of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again become entangled in them and are overcome, the final end is worse than the beginning. This is the Apostle Peter, the Apostle of Jesus Christ, speaking the words that he learned from Christ Jesus. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment that was delivered to them. Oh, You mean in the days of Peter that Israel had the commandments of God delivered to them? Yes, that's true. But the pronouncement found in the true proverb has happened to them. Now here is where Peter quotes from Proverbs 26 and verse 11. The dog has returned to eat his own vomit. Isn't that a disgusting statement to be found in the Bible? Why? Well, it's to show us how God considers those who have once known the truth and turned back to the deceptions and lies and the doctrines and teachings of men. God calls a spade a spade. God gives us images. God gives us pictures that we can generate the illustration, the graphic in our mind to show us how vile sin is. So the dog has returned to eat its own vomit. That should be enough to turn us away from the lies and the deceptions. And the sow that was washed has returned to her wallowing place in the filthy mire. And we all have probably smelt the stench of swine, of pigs, in that wallowing. We will continue this in the next segment, but in the meantime, do go to our website, cbcg.org, and you also can go to churchathome.org, but do download or request the faithful version of the Bible so that you have a valuable Bible, a trustworthy Bible that you can read in its original order, and also our new booklet on England or the United Kingdom and America. And also to the book which we mentioned last time, Lord, What Should I Do? Because there are so many people who are seeking to know the truth. And that book is a valuable guide in your work towards that goal. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Lyle Johnson saying so long, everyone.